Welcome to the April Kirkwood Show, the podcast which helps develop and strengthen the soulful self. April's guests share their personal experiences, which have helped them discover the true worth within themselves. Through their stories, you will gain inspiration to reveal and multiply the very best in you. And now, here's April.
Hi, this is April Kirkwood from the Soulful Connection, Soulful Yours. And this is a safe place where you can investigate the metaphysical, the dream state, psychology, self-help, yoga, mediums, coaches, and I think. And I really want you to believe this with all your heart or open yourself to know that your job right now on this planet is very important. And your job can be found if you're feeling a little dislocated, confused, lost, exhausted, anxious by connecting with your soul. Your soul is here for a purpose. You are here to do something nobody else can do. And it all begins with self-knowledge, understanding, and love. Love of spirit and that connection to love of yourself. Today, I am so honored and pleased and excited. I want to go to LA where my like-minded people are, but now she's here with me. Her name is Jillian Harris. She is worldwide well-known. She has a website, and I'm just going to read a short part of her bio because if this resonates, I really believe that she's one of the top in her field that are actually educated, soulful, and wise, and really truly wants the best for you. It's not about the money, because we all know money comes when we're in order, and God wants us to have money. So that is what we're going to do with this conversation. She is going to tell us about what is a soul? Who is a soul? She is a metaphysical consultant, author. Her study and work in the realm of metaphysics began early in her childhood. Oh my God. She was born with this gift. Like I was born with dancing feet. Some things are gifts and we all have them. But she's one of the luckier ones because she did not have to struggle or remove blockages. She came without any blockages. So we all are psychic in some form. She just got it coming into first base. So she grew out of these oddities because I'm going to talk about it, what it's like to be a child that is kind of like a medium that happens to know and see things that other people don't. And now, though, she has embraced her gifts the way I want you to embrace your gifts and become a service. Her service is being a medium, a life coach, a love coach, a channel, a Reiki master. Maybe she can marry me someday, an ordained minister, a teacher. She is based for everyone else listening out there and you want to run to her door and beg her for a moment of your time, of her time. She's from Malibu, California, where all the cool hipsters are other than New York. She has a master's degree in spiritual psychology, teaches classes, workshops, and she will give you her website. I'll give it to you now, www.jillianharris.com. worldwide.com. And those links will be on my website, aprilkirkwood.com, and we will have her linked to hers as well. So, Jillian, welcome.
Hello. That was so amazing. Golly. Oh, geez. I'm just kidding.
Thank you. I do better when I think from spirit instead of, so I didn't have any of that planned. And I just let what I picked up from you. Everyone who's listening, we've been talking a little bit before the show and I was so intoxicated with her truth. And, she wasn't trying to dazzle me with a lot of bullshit. And as we're evolving, Jillian, it's true. We can see through the bullshit more.
No, that's so true. Yeah.
the energies are raising. So I'm going to let you talk about what you do and what you think about the soul. For those people who don't believe in a soul, or just give us soul class 101.
Wow. That's awesome. Because I personally enjoy different people and different spiritual leaders and whatnot giving their description of what a soul is, you know, how they find the words for it. So let me give a whirl at finding the words for it, you know. Basically, a soul, I see it like this. It all started, God had a thought one day. God's, yo, what if?
Always dangerous.
Yes. What if I split myself into a bazillion pieces? You know, so, and had a bazillion incarnations and got to have a lot of different living experiences and different scenarios and, you know, growth opportunities and whatnot, relationships and just evolving in that way. What would that be like? And so, boom, in a thought, separation, those pieces are souls. So we're each unique expressions of that. Larger.
Now, when people say that can't be because there's more people coming and more people coming, how and I never know what to say. What do
they're
you say?
Reruns.
What?
Mostly reruns.
Oh, they're reruns. Oh, wait. Are you? Oh, wait a minute. Are you living a double life?
Multiple. Okay, so there, time is an illusion, and so all the lifetimes that we want to call incarnations and reincarnations are all actually happening at once. And so I use an analogy of a flower. That's the simplest way for me to explain everything happening now. And that's why on a lot of things you'll see on logos and stuff, you'll see a flower with me because that's so profound to me. So that one flower is a soul, a person. You're a soul, I'm a soul, okay? But because of how we're made, what we're made of, that unique expression of that one, right? We're basically all one. But to keep it simple, you're a soul, I'm a soul, we're individuals. Okay, so each flower is a soul. And the center is representative of that soul and the stem, you know, goes down to the earth, which is connected to like symbolic of God, you know, but all the flowers are connected to God. So we're all connected, right? But go back to that one flower and you've got the petals. Each petal is a lifetime. Each petal is alive now, just like that flower is alive now. Each lifetime is happening right now, simultaneously. And I like to look at a daisy and keep it super duper simple because some flowers have a bazillion, just too many petals for me to think about right now. So we're gonna keep it as a daisy, okay? But even then on a daisy, you notice that some of the petals are side by side and some are kind of overlapping other ones. So you're going to have those lifetimes that begin while other ones are still, you know, going on. And so you could have an incarnation. You could have, April, an incarnation that is beginning today.
Right.
You know? And while you're still sitting here in this incarnation right now. So it's an illusion to think that incarnations happen like a chain, one after another. There is no after.
What happens then when we die? The soul continues, the core of the flower, and then the flower stem or petal. What happens when we die then? Because we're all afraid of dying. If that's the last frontier in America, we will do any. I mean, we were like, I got everything else, but this dying shit, I'm not too certain about it. Mm-hmm. And I, even as spiritual as I try to be, I can only imagine me at my deathbed trembling with all the faith that I have.
Yes.
Tell us about the death experience and the soul, and then where would Jillian go? Where would April? We know our body rots and goes back to the earth. Mm-hmm. Well, what about our consciousness?
I try not to think about that part.
Yeah, I know. I don't like it either. But
I mean, look at my nails; they're beautiful. I mean, oh my God!
I know. I like this. I like this lifetime. I'm having a wonderful experience, and people say even after I had a very traumatic life, but I'm blessed because everything made me who I am today. And
yes.
I love the people who hurt me because they did the best they could at the time.
Yeah.
They gave me all they could, even if it was only a dime's worth.
Right.
That was all they had to give.
But then also, I'm sorry, go ahead. I'll let you finish. Go ahead, but
tell us everything. I just want to.
I'm so sorry. That made me want to go into part of what my book right now is about.
Go ahead. You talk, girl. Because I have
folks, I don't know if you know, but the book that is basically inspiring all this conversation right now is called Have We Met? How to Identify Your Reincarnated Loved Ones. So you just said that, you know, there are people that you love who gave you a difficult time, you know, because that was all they had to give at the time. I mean, and that's true. They were what they were at that time because that's where they were at that time, you know. But then the other part about it is that you guys had an agreement, and this agreement happened prior to this incarnation. If you want to do that illusionary time thing, it happened before. And you made the agreement to have that difficult time with that person because look at what it made you do. And to be able to come up out of a situation that was hurtful or whatever, and be able to say, I love you, and to be able to see, you know, the blessings and the silver linings out of it, that's quite priceless right there. And so who knows? Oh, I know that you guys made an agreement to have that experience.
Now, that person, that celebrity that I was talking about.
Yeah.
Can you, and I don't care if the air hears it, they won't know who he is. Well, maybe they will know, but who cares? What was our pre-agreement, or where were we before?
Oh, yeah, that. Thank you for asking me that question. I'd love to answer.
So other people can listen and say, That sounds correct, or wow, that's crazy, or wow, I want her to do me.
I'll let you say the name. I'm not going to say the name, but.
Okay. You want me to say the name?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. It's Frankie Valli, and his name is Frankie Castelluccio Valli. He's a Jersey boy.
That is so awesome. People are Googling right now. They're Googling.
I loved him since I loved him before I met him, when he was my Ken doll.
Yeah. Yeah, you loved him before you met him in this incarnation because you already knew him. Mm-hmm. That's what's up. So you already knew him.
Right. I felt like I was home.
Yes.
And maybe when you meet, that's one way for people to figure out if someone's from the past, when it feels so ultra comfortable and everything's wrong about it, maybe, you know, like Mr. Valli is many, many years. In fact, he was as old as my mother who passed away, but there was no rhyme or reason. I'm not from money. I'm from a farm area, but the connection still happened. And people who are meant to meet will meet.
Mm-hmm.
Any juicy detail about us in the past?
I know that was a bleed over from other romantic relationships, plural.
Okay.
Oh, a bleed plural. Over from other romantic relationships.
Now, do you do this for other people? This is why I was segue. I want people to know what you do.
I'm a goal coach primarily. Okay. I'm a goal coach. So folks come to me with their intentions. You know, I'm trying to become this. I want to acquire this. I want to feel like this. I want to, you know, whatever their goal is, their intention is. My specialty is conscious creation and metaphysics. So I help folks pull the magic out and make it happen. Yeah.
What makes you different? I mean, there's a million and one coaches. We're all calling ourselves coaches, love coaches, life coaches, career coaches, interpersonal coaches.
You want to know about my oddities.
Yeah. Well, why would someone want to come to you and make that call because you're the one they know is going to get the job done?
Yeah. So despite. Whoa, that was weird. Despite my Earth time, this incarnation achievements, and you know, as a CEO and all those sort of things, you know, I've got the physical experiences. You know, like many coaches have the physical stuff, but I also have the metaphysical part. Like you were saying, oh, I loved when you were saying at the beginning, and I wanted to jump into that. I was born without the blocks, you know, the fears and things that, you know, I'm a natural medium. That means I was born with it. And it also means that just really strange stuff has been happening to me since I was a kid and I didn't get it.
Like what? Tell us when you were a little girl. I want to know what strange stuff happened to you. So I want to feel like my whole life.
The strangest thing that was probably the most like just uncomfortable would be my disappearing acts.
Did you disappear?
disappear. And I didn't know I disappeared until I was back. Suddenly, bam, I'm back and I know that I've been somewhere. And so and this would happen. Usually I'd be, I wouldn't notice it when I was by myself, like in my room, you know, doing something. But if I was out and about with people, if I was out, like, especially like saying playing a sport, waiting for my turn, waiting outfield for the ball to come or something, all of a sudden, poof, I'm gone. And it's not like the game was boring or anything. I'm into it. I've always been an athlete, you know? And then bam, I'm back. And I'm like, oh, whoa. And then I look at the person next to me, I'm like, did I just look really strange just now?
Because I didn't miss any time in that linear time, did it?
They said that I didn't look strange. But who knows how long it took. May have just been a flash on this side, but it felt like 30 minutes on the other side.
Do you know where you went? I mean, when you were a little girl and came back, like, were you?
I wasn't ready for this. So I never knew where I went. Or what I did. I just knew that I had a full body experience wherever it is that I went.
And how old were you?
When I finally prayed to make it go away, I was about 10 or 11 years old. Yeah.
You know, you're lucky your parents didn't take you to a shrink.
I didn't tell them.
Oh, good. Because
I knew not to tell them.
Because I think children today, and I think they're coming in even more evolved, they're getting labeled, you know, or they're being told to shut down.
Yes.
And once you shut down, I would assume, you know, it's harder to open up again. But right. And it's scary. So who did you talk to if you didn't tell your parents?
I told my math tutor. So this is years later, though. And now we were doing all kinds of things. He was really cute. He's like 7 or 8 years older than me. So that was at that time wrong, right?
Yeah.
I was like 12 or 13 and he's like 20 or something. Yeah. But anyway, I just thought he was the cutest thing and I did not want to talk about math. No. So I would want to talk about metaphysical stuff and he was intrigued by that as well. So sometimes, you know, after we'd have our math session, he'd say, okay, 6 o'clock. I'm going to send you a message and you pick it up, you know, and you tell me what it is next time, you know, we have our math thing. So this one time I said to him, I go, I've been seeing this vision like constantly. And it was one of those where it was, you know, clearly clairvoyant. But I didn't know that word, you know, I didn't get that, but I knew that I was something psychic like was going on. So I kept seeing this guy, this young man, a white guy, like in his young 20s, brown hair, leather jacket, walking on a sidewalk along a row of bushes, like trimmed hedges. He's like downtown somewhere, like it felt like another country, as a matter of fact, but he was out in the city somewhere. So he's walking and he's just walking by. And I kept seeing this guy walking past me. And I knew every time I saw him that he was me. I knew that that was me walking. And, you know, it was a little bit weird that I was a him, you know, but I didn't think that much of it at the time. I just knew that was me. And so I said to my tutor, I'm like, you know, I see this guy and he looks like this. And he's doing this. And he's like, oh, do you know him? I'm like, no, I am him. And when I think back on that, because I could not have been more profound. I was really trying to be as honest as possible. I knew nothing about like words like mediumship and clairvoyance and, you know, clair anything. I knew nothing about that stuff. I knew the word telepathy, mental telepathy, because I had read a book. My first book, most people read other things, you know, from front to back, you know, or whatever, but I would never finish those. The first book that I read from front to back was a book with the title was called Mental Telepathy. And I was about 13 years old. So this is where my interest was always in metaphysics and, you know, working.
So now what would be the difference between what your experience was and a walk-in? And what is a walk-in? Or is that just BS?
Wow, a walk-in. So I haven't talked about that in a long time, but
I just popped into my head. Maybe there's a walk-in that's going to be listening to this show.
So folks, if you don't know what she's talking about, this would be when a soul, okay, situation. Someone has transitioned, okay? So they're not in a physical body right now, but they have an agreement with another soul. Okay, this other soul is in a lifetime, and I'm going from a situation that I actually know of. A little girl, she's like 6 years old, and she was raped and murdered. So she's murdered. At the time that her body dies, the other soul that has made this agreement now comes into this body. And the little girl who used to have the body, who went through this horrible thing, is now going off to her next, you know, step in that life. These two have made this agreement. And then not only that, the one who comes in, she actually remembers having a conversation with her guide and this other little girl's guide. And there was like almost like a ceremonial moment that happened, as, you know, permissions are granted and whatnot, and that this is supposed to happen. And so now she's going to come into this body. That's the walk-in. Okay, there it has happened. And she's going to actually live out, you know, going through the healing and the whatnot, or, you know, actually being able to survive what happened, because she wasn't exactly in that body as it happened.
Traumatized in it. She was detached a little bit, more of an observer. I can't talk either. is this contagious today? And so that does happen, but not often. No, did the parents notice a difference in personality?
Yes, they did. And it was hard for her. And she was also remembering her life before, which was from even another country, like Australia or something. And this little girl was here in America.
Is it possible for you to teach others, or is that part of your coaching, the conscious coach, to remember past lives or things that will help you accomplish what you need to let go, release? Or and gravitate your passion, your purpose. Everybody wants to know what's my purpose.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Oh my goodness. There's
nobody knows what the hell they're supposed to be doing.
You know, it's so interesting. We do need guidance with that. It's amazing because it's really right in front of us generally. But if we have somebody else who can like ask the right questions to get us to go inside and get those truthful answers, because we are the only ones who really know, you know, but to have someone else be able to facilitate the conversation that brings out our truth, that's the thing.
I always knew I was just meant to be colorful. You know, that was when I was little. I'm just meant to color the world with
beauty. It's true.
And as a fairy essence, I just want to dance and eat cake.
Yeah.
And now I'm on this spiritual essence, and I was a teacher, right, and a guidance counselor, but I've always been a teacher. Now I think I'm healed enough.
Right.
Somebody had told my mother before she passed, April will not do what she's supposed to do until later.
Okay.
Because she won't be ready. And when she's ready, and I had to do it with that book, number one, and getting some money and realizing that wasn't everything. And having some things that I knew then became very shallow for me. But I had to see it myself.
Right. Well, I'm also wondering, did your mom stunt you by saying that?
I don't know, because I listen to all of you guys because I'm an A-type people pleaser. And so if you tell me this and this is going to happen, I you know, and that's another thing. That's why some people are afraid to go to mediums or intuitives, or because... Yeah. Number one, they don't really believe it. And there's, I'm sure, some charlatans. And number two, they think they're going to manifest it.
Right.
As a coach, as a medium, what would you suggest to people that want to know about their soul, their purpose, maybe talk to a person who has passed on? Like right now, I see a film right on the side of me. Like,
I do too.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I don't know who it is, but if there's somebody standing, and obviously this is a podcast, but there is a smoky white film.
Yeah.
I can't see it when I look, but when I see it in the camera, it's right there.
Yeah.
Tell us everything. I just threw 10,000 questions at you.
You did?
Yeah. What's resonating? What do you feel that you need to tell us?
Okay. So I've got a class. I do. And it's coming closer to you. It just moved closer to you. So, which I love that because, you know, that's one thing is that folks, the veil is elusive. It's not really real. It's like there is no veil really. You know what I mean? And so everybody's still here, you know, and that's why one of the things I talk about in my most recent book is talk to, you know, in fact, they're telling me I write mediumistically, if that makes sense. I'm having conversations with folks on the other side and I'm writing it as it's happening. What I say, what they say, you know.
And I mean, do you know who this is?
I don't know who it is, except that it is a family member.
Okay. My mom, I don't know. Could be anybody. Because I was their princess and I was loved and they were a head whacking group of women who were strong and hated their lives and gave me everything.
Always with you though, this person. And so this is the first time you're noticing?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's funny because I had I had a shaman experience last night.
And right to your here. Other side too. You have more than one. Go ahead. Yeah.
And so they started to come and okay. I started to see.
Okay.
And I had a fan, I put a fan and I started to do automatic writing. And uh-huh. I don't know what happened, but I started to be able to see more.
Awesome.
So for people that, so we say everyone realizes now they have a soul.
Yes.
How can so they?
They connect? Are a soul.
They we don't are a soul. A, okay.
Yes, I don't have and one.
They, okay. They are a soul having an earthly experience.
Yes.
Maybe several. It's yes. all happening in the same time.
Yes.
Does it ever end then?
That's a good question. How it's going to evolve, you know, I don't see the ending. I see it as eternal. And that's what I love about my work. It helps, I'm grounded in it, but it helps others get way grounded in the fact that this is eternal. You were saying in the beginning how scary it is, you know, to, you know, you can envision yourself being a little like freaked out about the whole transitioning thing as a, you know, very elderly and frail in a hospital bed or whatever. But it's not, when you really get grounded in it, there's an excitement about the next part, you know, so long as everything is, you know, done here, it's like that sadness of leaving. You don't want to do that part.
Well, and also if you've done your work and you
yes,
have
that's the part too.
More negative karma or you haven't released karma. And I think a lot of us are here right now trying to get it right.
Yeah. Now you asked me another question too. And I was trying to say that I have a course called Spirit Families, Why We Flock. Because that's the other part of my book and what you were saying about you and Frankie, you mm-hmm. guys, and it's like flocking together and you're not going to, I mean, it's like moths to a flame. That's what we do. Love, you know, love times. We spend our times that way. We are like on the same bus. We travel together, you know, a road trip, another lifetime. Here we go. What are you going to be this time? And we've already prearranged this stuff. So if there were any things that you were feeling, to wrap this part of the conversation up, if there are any things that you were feeling that like maybe you didn't feel it was appropriate or you didn't feel healthy in any way as a result of that, if the love that you feel still for him, even though he is so much older than you, now you, I hope, understand it more.
And
you do, you get it. Okay. Cause it's just bleed over love. It's, you know, and on an innate level, exactly who the soul is to you. I mean, and you have had so many incarnations, so many rich lives together, and have had so many experiences together. This isn't the first, second, or third. And so that's what it's about. That's why it felt so natural. That's why you said you felt like you were home.
And then when you get, for people out there, when they have that encounter, like when you said this, I just got goosebumps. And of course, now I have all these people around me.
Yes.
How could people tell who their spirit families are? Could you give them like three things to look for or feel or be awake?
Yes.
I think we need to wake up to this. This is why I do this podcast. People, it's time to wake up. Mm-hmm. We are zombies. Mm-hmm. We're driving on remote and we're miserable. We're self-loathing. We hate our lives. What a waste of a beautiful.
We're forgetting what we really are.
Right.
And we're mesmerized by all things physical, which means we're missing the whole thing. Like the physical is just a speck of what's going on. So if we're just mesmerized by that speck, imagine the whole world of stuff that's missing.
Why do you think that's happening now that we're all so you think it's technology, you think it's MTV, you think it's...
Well, I mean, it is exciting here. It is exciting here. I love Earth incarnations. I love it. I've been blatantly clear that I love this ride since a little girl. Like, oh my God. And I have been a master of conscious creation since a little kid too. So I knew I was about to have a whole bunch of fun on this particular, you know, ride. So to me, it's easy to get mesmerized by it. And I realized when I was younger, I definitely was mesmerized by it, and in a way that was way not healthy. I mean, as you read parts of my book, I let it all out in there. It's very bad. So
I'm going to get it right now as soon as we get off the phone.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, you know, everything I told my mom, sex, drugs, rock and roll, but there's really just a speck of rock and roll in there.
Okay? Mine too. Like my time with Frankie, I'll be honest with you. He never abused me. He kept me from the drugs. He never wanted me to be with anybody else. So, you know, the way things look, visions are not always what they appear to be.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You asked me three things, and I'm going to say one of the things is a familiarity. It is about what you feel. And I do teach people what to look for and what to feel for. But then part of what to feel for is waking up your abilities as a mental medium. And I believe that everybody's got at least a percentage of them, you know. On a scale of 1 to 10, they're somewhere in that scale of 1 to 10 in terms of their ability to use their natural mediumship. Nobody is at a 0. Everybody's at least a 1, you know? And so it's how to be able to use that. And then as we delve into being able to use that, and I encourage everyone to seek guidance, seek tutelage, you know, there are so many people, especially in big cities, who are great at it, and don't let yourself get abused by somebody who wants to way overcharge you or anything. You know what I mean? Look for, shop around, you know, and find a decent price that makes sense. And then, you know, hang out with that person, you know, one class or however they do it, and see if they feel like they resonate. You know, if it doesn't, go find someone else. Like, don't be abused by this, because you want to be in a situation where somebody can really connect with you and help you connect with yourself. And in this process of doing that, that's when you're really getting way grounded in how eternal you are and your life is, you know. And then not only that, so now you're recognizing, you're getting, oh, the first folks that you want to recognize as part of your spirit family, because you want to get that your spirit family is not only blood relatives. A lot of blood relatives, especially in your nucleus, the folks, you brother, sister, mom, dad, those folks are definitely in your spirit family, because you're bonded, you're having those kind of relationships that bring about growth and whatnot. But there are people who we barely notice. The mailman could have been way close to you last time. And because of that relationship, you know, you've decided to stay like in the same neighborhood, even though you're not really interacting. You're just saying, hey, Bob, you know, this time. And then last time you were like bosom buddies and he jumped in front of a car and saved your life or whatever. You know what I mean? So the part about this is like, you know, that Christopher Haupt is a little boy who is, oh, gosh, Lou Gehrig is back. You know that, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah, he's okay. Back as a little boy named Lou Gehrig. I mean, I'm sorry, named Christopher Haupt.
Okay.
Yeah. The book on that, his mom wrote it, The Boy Who Knew Too Much. Okay. But so we're seeing these situations, and you had mentioned something earlier, and there are folks who were saying for a minute that this little boy was possessed by the spirit of, okay, in a way, possessed by the spirit of himself. Okay, in a different incarnation. Okay, that's fine. I'll go for it like that. But so there were having a lot of folks that are showing us, like, you know, today, because of modern technology, so we can see that this eternal, continuous life is real. So when you ask what happens, and now I'm gathering up all your questions over the last hour, you ask what happens when we pop out of our bodies. Basically, that's how I say it. When our bodies, our physical bodies stop working, we then have to go do other stuff, because we need another body. If we're going to stay here, we're going to need another body. And then what if we're young? What if it's an accident? The body was fine, and then there was an accident, and boom, you go flying out of your body, you know, and the windshield happens, stops your physical body, and you continue. first thing I understand that happens, this is kind of a sidebar, sorry, but that what I just described was a traumatic accident that caused that person to leave their body. And there's a moment of confusion when that happens. You know, it takes a minute to go, whoa, wait a minute. That's my car and I'm stuck in the windshield. Okay, great. You know, but I'm here. And then, you know, as you realize, and there I've heard folks say that they didn't know that they were dead for like an hour or so.
I heard that addicts, I'm an addiction counselor as well, but addicts who are always sleepy.
Yeah.
Can sleep for a while and not, I mean, they're dead, but they think right. They're sleeping. They don't know because that's
right. Because they came from that. Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, that makes sense.
So a lot of addicts can sleep for a long time, or even when they're awake, they think they're just high.
Like, right. And so that, I would think, that could cause enough confusion to stay and hover in Earth Realm.
Now, they used to say when I would go to a funeral, don't say anything mean for like 3 days because the dead are still around you, but they're always around you. They're always around.
But I do think that they are more concentrating and more connected to Earth Realm at that point. Okay. You know, they realize they've got family, they've got things, they've got stuff, they've habit, you know, of being here. And they also are extremely connected to the folks that they love and what they feel. And very frustrating too for many, 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 many people who've crossed over because they can't reach through and have you see that they're fine and, you know, embrace you and have you really feel it and know it's okay.
And that's because the human who is grieving is so dense. So, yeah. I mean, and the energy is what I've read is that when you're in grief or mourning or depressed or sad, your aura changes, you get denser like earth. When they die, they get lighter.
Yes, exactly.
Standing right beside you and go, I'm okay. But you're grieving and you're mourning.
So heavily, yes.
It makes the veil harder to get through. Now, when you die, do you talk to your guides? Is there a reckoning? Is there a book of life? Is there an Akashic record that, you know, is it like school? Like after a while you have to go and like replan? Tell us what you've learned about that so we're not so afraid.
So I've learned that lots of people have lots of different ways that the afterlife is expressed. And I'm having a hard time every time you say when you die. I'm like...
Okay, when I transition. I'm sorry, when I transition.
Not computing.
When I get my wings back.
Yes.
Yeah. My fairy wings back.
Yeah, so one of the things that I even experienced when I did... a past life recall. And in that particular life that I was recalling, I experienced the transition from my physical body out. And for maybe 15, 20 minutes of that travel out of my body, which was light. And I'd heard people try to express feeling connected to everything. And I actually, this is the only time when I focus on this particular experience that I understand the true formlessness of us, you know? So now when folks pop out of their bodies, you know, their bodies are done, the heart stopped, they're not going to use this particular body anymore. There are several things. Some folks are immediately greeted by loved ones, like immediately, even before they've even left, they're having conversations and stuff. And, you know, and so it's just, like they're already are on the other side chit-chatting and whatnot before, you know, actually leaving their body. So there's some folks who do that. There's some folks who actually go through some travel as this formlessness, kind of like a flying feeling. And they talk about going like so far out into the cosmos.
The tunnel, the light, the zoom.
Like not even, I've heard of not even a tunnel, just zoom. but accompanied by a guide. You know, and one of the ones, and his name is escaping me right now. It's a bummer. He's a neurosurgeon. Do you know who I'm talking about? Who had the
Journey of the Souls? Is that the book?
I'm not sure, but he was in a near-death situation because he had this brain infection thing. But so as he was supposed to be like not here, And so while he's supposed to not be here and they're thinking he's going to die at any second, he's out having this experience. But part of his experience was in a dark, a very dark place. So we're going through different stuff. And this was part of what he needed to go through, this darkness. And he almost like needing to go through almost, I want to say, a school, like an inner emotional school kind of thing, curriculum, as he went through that and emerging as a graduation from that darkness. But that was also part of his miraculous, you know, recovery. But whatever he gained from down there was part of the books that he writes now. You
know? He got that. Now, what, guys, I have wonderful little dogs that I have not raised them very well. Here I am, teacher, educator, and they are little gremlins. I swear to God. My other dog passed away, and I replaced them. Big mistake. Miss Paisley, thank you. In your bed. Thank you. Thank you, lovely lady.
She's like, I was working. I had things to do.
She's got lots to say. Now, once again, tell us where we can get this book.
Yeah.
Where are you? And now, since you're having many lives, can I meet you somewhere for drinks?
Heck yeah.
I can go to New York. I can go to Florida. You could actually invite this April to California too. Yes. But how can we find you other than you and I astral traveling together, which I've never consciously tried, but
right. Oh, that's fun. Gotta do that. So the book, Have We Met? How to Identify Your Reincarnated Loved Ones, is available in all forms. It's in the paperback, it's in audio, I narrate it, and it's also in the ebook. So you can find them.
Is that on Amazon?
Amazon, of course, for all three of those versions, but you can also do audible.com and iTunes for the audio. And then you can find me at Gillian Harris Worldwide, because I'm one of those Jillians who spells it with a G.
Okay.
So if you look for me with a J, you're not going to find it. I should buy that so that doesn't happen. But anyway, GillianHarrisWorldwide.com. And
do you have any classes coming up or anything?
Yes.
And tell us what, because people, I believe people need you more than anything in the world right now. You don't need another pair of shoes, but you do need to know where you are walking.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're not walking in the right direction for your highest good, the shoes, and I love shoes, aren't doing a damn thing.
Yeah. So,
let's take the money we've saved for those expensive shoes and those Jimmy Choos or whatever it is you want.
Yes.
And let's invest it in our soul acceleration and self-knowledge. I think we're all here to learn more about ourself, not in a selfish way, but in a holistic way. So tell us what programs you have. If we go on your website, what do you got? I'm going to do that.
Yes, do. I hope to
hang out with you.
So we've got, there's the Conscious Life Design Workshop is something I've been doing for a long time. But now as a result of the newest book that's just out, I'm also doing Spirit Families, Why We Flock, which I'm excited about, because this gives folks an opportunity to learn, hone their natural skills at mediumship. You know, it's to answer the question, how to identify your spirit family.
If I want to learn mediumship myself, I would be more interested in the spirit flocks.
Why We Flock.
Why We Flock. I'm sorry.
Why We Flock. Yeah. Spirit Families, Why We Flock. You want to get to the answers of why we travel together and do lifetimes together and do, you know, this life learning curriculum together. And so the purpose on this too is, you know, you have your good relationships. And so in those, I say, find out what are the lessons, what are the blessings even that you're getting from some of these folks that you're having relationships with. I mean, the positive ones, why not acknowledge them and celebrate that now rather than when
our family seems to like to party a lot.
Awesome.
You know, but not always good. And we like men and we like sex and we like, but we also have low self-esteem. And we also have a dichotomy of wanting to fall into society that, you know, or be ourselves.
Okay.
And I noticed that I know what our family group is, but I think other people, and once I know, I can advise my children.
Uh-huh.
And I can see from my flaws, my grandmother's, my great grandmother's, and what's going on. And as a parent, it's, yes. That's the best gift you can give someone is saying, well, you know, I noticed that I feel that way. And you don't have to say it metaphysically. You know, right. I noticed that I always like to party too, but there's really nothing out there. There's nothing more important than being home with your children, but you can make a balance and it's okay to have those feelings.
Right.
And somehow when you give permission for someone to have those feelings, from a counseling, and once you bring it out, then it lessens it. I don't know why, you know, once you find the truth, like
acceptance.
You know, right. Sometimes I wish I could just go after work to have drinks with my girlfriends, but I can't because I have a baby at home. That's okay. We all want to do that, mm-hmm. but you know, you make plans once in a while to do it.
Right. Balance.
Know your truth.
Yeah. So then what I just heard you say is you were able to find the silver linings, the blessings, the lessons.
Right.
Out of the not necessarily positive relationships.
Right. Exactly.
And that's part of what it's about. And then the other thing about this too is, you know, when we reincarnate, we don't necessarily come back as the same race, the same politics, the same, you know, anything.
Like, I personally, secretly, when I see someone who's a racist, I go, oh, they're coming back in a bad state.
I know. Number 45 could come back as Muslim.
Yeah, exactly.
And a number of other things, you know, all
what
in one
body. These mass murders or these kids who are killing, you know, school shootings or... The guy in Vegas, I don't even want to give them props by speaking their names, but what happens to those people that live, the Hitlers of the world?
Mm-hmm. So this is a really good question. And it's definitely dealt with in my books. That one, especially is in my first book, which not to confuse issues, but the Secrets of Lost, the Validity of Multidimensional Existence. And in that book, I've actually talked to someone about those sort of situations and what can happen with a spirit who has been expressing really badly like that, you know, and harmfully in an incarnation.
Can their soul be obliterated? I mean,
that's
can they
so
be
interesting? Because in this one case, guides like took the soul and separated it into pieces so that it couldn't team up again to be as evil as it was in that particular incarnation. And this is a dear friend of mine, Lori Camacho, who is a trance channel and spirit healer, who shared this story with me. So she channeled the guide who facilitated this entire thing. It happened in a place that used to be a mortuary that was now becoming a bookstore, but they were having troubles with this bookstore. And what happened was the guys who ran the mortuary were, I don't know what you call it, after a person is already dead and they have sex with you, whatever you call that, they were awfulness like that. So then there were a bunch of people who, you know, females especially, who had transitioned and their bodies were just supposed to be embalmed there, but now their souls are like stuck in this building because of the trauma and whatnot. So my friend Lori and her guide went basically to heal and clear this building. But in doing that, they needed to deal with this soul who was the mastermind of all of this madness. And what they did with, you know, the separation of his parts because it was so intense. And in fact, that part of my book, I don't like to read. It's so spooky. It is the darkest thing ever. And I was writing part of it at night and I'm like, oh no, I couldn't write it at night. It had to be broad daylight for me to write it. And I don't like to read it.
What about and I'm going to bring up one more. So people like the Catholic Church do exorcisms and they believe I was raised in a very strict and it didn't seem to be ludicrous at the time, but it really interesting evangelical that, you know, you were, you know, demon possessed or they would pray for you to go in the, under the spirit and speak in tongues. I took the good from that and enlarged it. But is that correct? You know, like that, you know, the priests come in and do all that. Is that, does that happen that that walk-ins kind of, or demons? Are there demons walking among us?
To me, a demon is a coagulation of emotional energy.
Okay. Does it attach itself to weak people or sick people or mentally ill people?
Can energy attach to anything or anybody? Yes. You know, and so I believe that everybody, like just like brushing our teeth every day, we need to do, you know, clearing our energy field. Like folks don't even get they have an energy field, you know.
How do you clear it? I stand in a circle, but I mean, I do my own little thing. But how, tell us.
I do a visualization of a clear white ball of light, which to me is symbolic of God's light and energy, and it's omnipotent, omni-loving, omni-clearing, okay? And it's coming down, and it's going to not only clear not only my physical body, but my ethereal body, my spirit body, which folks need to understand, if you hold your hands out, straight out to your sides, straight up, straight in front and back, that's, it's like a big bubble of your spirit body. And so it is clearing that as well. And so as this bubble, this air, this white light comes down and fills up your energy being, it is clearing and gathering up all the negative. And then spirit carries that up to the highest form of light and sound and transforms it back.
Goldie Hawn takes her energy and rolls it up.
Yeah.
And throws it. I mean, that's her.
Where does she put it though? She throws it where?
I don't know. Out to the next millionaire's home.
Got it.
The one who has the four young girlfriends stacked in the
back. That's awesome. I love her, by the way. She's so sweet.
I don't know you well enough to know where you live, so don't worry. but I would love to know her because she has a fairy spirit like me.
She's one of those people who's actually really sweet in real life.
Yeah, she's adorable and she's sweet and loving. And Kate Hudson seems to have a lot of that energy. Well, anyhow, I am going to get off this podcast and get the book, and I'm going to go online and I am going to work with Jillian because I believe she can help me become a better medium. If you are new and any of this resonates with you, look at her website. This isn't a sales pitch. This is a soul pitch.
There you go.
For you to walk in your power.
Absolutely.
And live in joy. If you had heartbreak, we can't make that disappear, but we can give you healing, a new perspective, a peace that, as the Bible says, a peace that passes understanding. We can get some more understanding from looking about what cannot be seen with the human eye, but felt with the eyes of the heart. Jillian, thank you so much. And I will give you my blessing as I always do. And this, whoever's beside me, I have
to
join in, people.
Yeah. <Get it together. laughs> Thank you. Blessings to you.
Jillian, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you for being a gift to this planet, especially with all the energies that are whirling around us and the fear and the anxiety. Those of us who have been lost and taken the left turn instead of the right. Help us help you to be a leader, a guidance for all of us to be the best of ourselves. And so it is. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining the April Kirkwood Show, the podcast which helps develop and strengthen the soulful self. Please join the conversation at aprilkirkwood.com and inspire us with your own story. Remember, your body is the temple of your soul. You are loved. You are God's child. Great things happen to you. Nothing can stop it.